Feast of the Lord, Part 2, Passover, in the Hebrew Pesach, Exodus chapter 13, 1 through 3. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belong to me, whether human or animal." Then Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, this Passover day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand." Lord, we commemorate this day. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one, Passover was the first of the three feast seasons. Passover was the first of the three feast seasons. I gave you the a few passage scriptures referring to Passover. If you're wondering where I'm getting my information tonight, it's from Exodus 12, 1 through 14, 43 through 48, comma, Leviticus 23, Numbers 28 through 29, chapters 28 through 29, and Deuteronomy chapter 16. So if you'd like to read those this week, if you so choose, that will be the summary of the Passover. On the 14th day of the first month of Nisan, at twilight, at 6 o'clock in the evening approximately, is the Lord's Passover. Leviticus 23, 4 and 5 tell us that. All Jewish males were required to journey to Jerusalem for the Passover. Originally it says, I believe in Deuteronomy 16, to the place of the Lord's choosing. And later on that will be the temple at Jerusalem. But the place of the Lord's choosing would be the synagogue for a while, in the homes for a while, and eventually Jerusalem to the temple. It was celebrated during the barley harvest. And Passover was to be a memorial to the Hebrews' deliverance from Egypt. When you think Passover, you should think Independence Day. Our 4th of July, fireworks and hot dogs and hamburgers and parades. And we eat a hamburger, a hot dog, and a bratwurst because that's what the founding fathers would have wanted. And no, but it is the Jewish Independence Day. It's Passover. It's the 4th of July. It's their deliverance from slavery. It's the day they became a people. Again, the deliverance happening during the first month, the month of Nisan, the first month on the sacred calendar, the month that God started to show the people his salvation, redemption plan. Passover represents God's first encounter with his covenant people. And you know the story. God chose Moses as an instrument to lead the Hebrews out of slavery, out of bondage in Egypt. He sent 9 plagues to convince Pharaoh to let my people go. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he refused. Then God sent the 10th plague, the last plague, a deadly plague, the death of the firstborn of every family. Not a children's story. We've made it a children's story, but this is a great grief and great pain in this story. But along with the decree of death that came with the plague, God gave specific instructions on how to be saved from this death, from this judgment that was coming. Number two, the Passover lamb and the escaping of death. The Passover lamb and the escaping of death. Every man was to select for his household a lamb without spot or blemish. And they were to select the lamb on the 10th day of Nisan. Nisan the 10th is like June the 14th. Nisan the 10th was the day they were to select the lamb in the first month. They were to keep that lamb separated from the other lambs. And they were to observe this lamb for 5 days. To make sure there was nothing wrong with it, to make sure it was not sick, make sure it did not have any blemishes. It had to be a perfect lamb. And after 5 days of observing, on the fifth day, they brought the lamb to the front of their home, to the doorstep, and there they would slaughter the lamb, kill the lamb. They would catch the blood in a basin, in a bowl, and they would take that blood and sprinkle the blood or paint the blood on both sides of the doorposts of their home, entering their home, and above the doorposts, entering into their home. This was done on the 14th of Nisan at 6 o'clock, right before 6 o'clock, because if you went past 6 o'clock, Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock at sundown approximately, you would be going into the 15th. So it had to be done at twilight on the 14th. They killed the lambs at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in order to eat the meal by 6. So they would kill the lamb at 3, roast the lamb for 3 hours, and begin to eat the lamb before twilight. So the family entered their house through the blood-stained door, where they were protected from the plague of death that was moving through the land in the first Passover. The entire lamb was roasted and consumed. The entire lamb. And everything that was not consumed had to be burned in the fire and consumed that way. Nothing could be left over for the next day. No Tupperware dishes and no tin foil. The whole thing had to be taken care of that day before the start of the next day. And no bone, not one bone of the lamb was to be broken. And the lamb was roasted on a crossbar-shaped spit. You've seen the lambs roasting. That's the way they would do this. Number three. As they ate the meal in this first Passover, as they ate the meal, the angel of death passed through the land. As they ate the meal, the angel of death passed through the land. And as he passed from door to door, he sought to enter every household. And death still tries to enter every household. And you've seen households where death is just consumed. Not physical death, but the death of sin, the death of lives falling apart. Death wants to enter people's homes. We brought death into this world because of our sin, so death wants to enter our homes. If the entrance was covered by blood, the blood of the lamb, death could not enter. Death had to pass over. If the entrance was not covered by the blood, judgment would come upon that household, and the firstborn male in the home, human and animal, would die. It was the blood of the lamb that saved the people from death. The blood of the lamb was their covering. The blood of the lamb was their protection. Passover, Pesach in Hebrew. Pesach means to come under the protection of a deity by crossing over, jumping over, stepping over, or leaping over. That's what Pesach means. To come under protection of God, by crossing over, jumping over, stepping over, or leaping over. In this case, stepping over the threshold. Some primitive altars to God were actually shaped like thresholds. Some primitive altars to non-gods, to false gods, were actually shaped like thresholds as well. The purpose of this was to request protection from the deity, whether it be God or this false god, the family deity, as well as inviting the deity in the house. So they wanted the deity to protect them from death, to protect them from pain, from curses, and they were also inviting the deity into the house. So at Passover, death passes over. God protects the people in the house through the blood of the lamb. So death passes over. Also, it is inviting the God of Israel, Yahweh, into the home to pass over the threshold into the house as their protector and defender from death. So God, in a sense, stood in the doorway protecting the people from death. At Passover, God entered into a blood covenant with the people, a threshold blood covenant at that altar of the door to their homes. Number four, going to Jerusalem to the temple for the Passover. Going to Jerusalem to the temple for the Passover. That's Deuteronomy 16, 16. You celebrate the Passover at the place of my choosing. And when the temple was built, instead of killing the lambs at your doorposts, at your homes, at the thresholds, you went to the temple, and there were regulations for the priests to make the sacrifices for the people or with the people. The entire Jewish nation converged on Jerusalem from all corners of the known world. Pilgrims at this time, there was an excitement in the air. They came in caravans. Some historians say numbering by the hundreds, and I read some that said they even came, some caravans, they were traveling by the thousands in one caravan to Jerusalem to participate in the Passover in the centuries leading up to the first century. So preparations in Jerusalem had to begin early for all these people. Jerusalem was going to swell. It was going to get a lot of people. There was going to be need to be a lot of places to stay. So they would begin, it was always at Passover time, you know how in Michigan this time of year is construction season everywhere you go? Well, right before Passover, it was always construction season. They were always rebuilding the roads, clearing the roads to make sure the pilgrims could get there easily. They were always setting up and repairing ritual baths because they would do ceremonial washings. They would make sure grave sites and tombstones and things of this nature were marked properly, because you could not encounter a grave site because that would make you ceremonially unclean. So they made sure these things were all taken care of before Passover took place. They were setting up dozens and dozens and hundreds of ovens, places to roast the lambs throughout the city, because there was going to be a lot of people, and they had to roast those lambs and eat it before the sun, before the next day. So these, all these ovens set up all over the city. On the actual day of the 14th, it was just a huge religious celebration. The priests and the Levites would lead in the singing of songs, the singing of psalms, especially Psalms 113 through 118, the going up to Jerusalem songs. They would sing these psalms over and over and over again. Musical instruments throughout Jerusalem you could hear playing at all hour through that day. Trumpets and harps and flutes and tambourines and cymbals. It was a party. Our 4th of July parades are something, but I can't imagine how massive of a party, religious party that is, this was. And at the very pinnacle, when the official time for Passover to start, the song that was sung is Psalms 118, 24. They would chant, "This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day He's made us a people. This is the day He set us free. This is the day He's entered into a covenant with us." So the Levites actually, knowing all these people were going to come, it fell upon the Levite clan in many cases to begin raising lambs for the Passover sacrifice right there in Jerusalem. So actually the raising of lambs in Jerusalem or near Jerusalem became one of the main things that happened, so they could sell the lambs for the pilgrims that were coming into Jerusalem, so they would not have to bring these lambs all the way from wherever they were traveling in the world. Pilgrims could buy the lambs already set aside for sacrifice. So they were raising lambs right in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem, that were being born and raised to die as a Passover lamb. That was the atmosphere. Throughout the year, people were seeing this, lambs born to die, born to die, born to die, this lamb born to die. It became part of their who they were. It influenced them day after day after day, after year after year after year after year. Number five, how Jesus fulfilled the Passover feast. How Jesus fulfilled the Passover feast. For 1,500 years, approximately, from the time of the giving of the law, the Jewish people had been celebrating Passover by killing the sacrificial lamb, consuming the lamb, thanking God for making them a people for 1,500 years. You got to do this again, do this again, and do this again. And they knew the blood of the animal would cover their sins. But they also knew the blood of this lamb would not take away their sins, because as soon as Passover was over, next year is going to be Passover again. And we're going to do this again. And we're going to do this again. And do this again. God began to send his prophets to explain that one day in the future, a Messiah would come who would deal with the problem of sin and death once and for all. Especially in Isaiah. Isaiah, what is it, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, especially 53. Isaiah 53 gives a picture of a human doing what the lamb, the Passover lamb, did, only more fully. This Messiah, he'll be wounded for our transgressions like the Passover lamb. He'll be bruised like the Passover lamb. Our sins will be placed upon him like the Passover lamb. And God finally sent one last prophet, one what we would call an Old Testament prophet, to help people recognize this Messiah figure when he came. And that last prophet was named John the Baptist, who introduced Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 36. And when he introduced Jesus to let people know who he was, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And remember, they've been raising lambs year after year after year after year. It was part of who they were. So when you say the Lamb of God, everybody goes, the Lamb of God, that's someone who's born to die, who's been prepared to be a sacrifice. That's what John was calling him. John identified Jesus as this human lamb, if you will. And as time approached for Jesus to die on that cross, he deliberately arranged his itinerary, his activities around the events associated with the selection, the testing, and the death of those Passover lambs. He deliberately set up his itinerary to be connected with the selection of the lambs, the testing of the lambs, and the death of those lambs. Jesus was set aside to be sacrificed. Jesus was set aside to be examined. Jesus was set aside to be crucified on the exact month, the exact day, and the exact hour that the Jews had been handling those lambs for 1,500 years in keeping with the feast of Passover. Number six, Jesus is the Passover lamb. Jesus is the Passover lamb. The Jewish people set aside their lambs on the 10th day of the month of Nisan. Jesus entered Jerusalem before the cross on the 10th of Nisan. John chapter 12 tells us, verse 1, Jesus came to the town of Bethany 6 days before Passover. Passover was celebrated on the 14th, so Jesus came to Bethany on the 9th. So Jesus enter Jerusalem on the 10th, because John also tells us the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, getting ready for it, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. John chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. We call this the triumphal entry. So since Jesus was in Bethany on the 9th, the next day would be the 10th. Jesus entered Jerusalem to be set aside as the human Lamb of God on the exact date that God told the Jews to set aside their lambs all the way back at the first Passover in Egypt. The purpose of setting aside the lamb was to set aside the lamb for 5 days so you could observe the lamb and make sure it was without spot or blemish. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem on the 10th, for the next 5 days, Jesus was observed for 5 days by the religious leaders. You can look at Matthew chapter 21 and other places. And they did everything they could to point an accusing finger at him. They wanted to discredit him so that he would not be an acceptable sacrifice. They kept trying to find blemishes, something wrong with him. But they could find nothing wrong with him. Finally, in desperation, they took Jesus to the Roman governor Pilate, hoping Pilate could find something wrong with Jesus. But in John 19:4, after interrogating and beating Jesus, Pilate said to them, I find no fault in him. No blemish, just like those lambs. All this happened in the 5-day period from the 10th to the 14th, when the Jews were checking the lambs for sacrifices. So all this time in the temple, when these Jewish scholars, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, are coming to Jesus and questioning him, everybody in that town goes out every day and looks at the lamb, checks it over, makes sure there's no blemish. They're looking at the real physical, animal lamb. There's nothing wrong with this lamb. And the religious leaders are in the temple looking at Jesus and go, there's nothing wrong with him. We wish there were, but there's nothing wrong with him. Jesus was crucified on the 14th. He was not only crucified on the same day the lambs were killed, but also at the same time of day. The Jews at that time prepared the lambs at 9 o'clock in the morning because of the sheer number of people that were in Jerusalem on the 14th. But they killed them at 3 o'clock that afternoon so that the Passover could be completed before 6 o'clock, which would begin a new day. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Mark 15:25. The third hour was 9 o'clock in the morning, Jewish time. That was when they were gathering up all the lambs to make sure that they could make sure every lamb was sacrificed, make sure every lamb was prepared to be sacrificed for Passover. Then at 3 o'clock, as the people were praising God and slaughtering the lambs at the appropriate time, Jesus died. And Mark was very careful to note the time. It was the 9th hour, 3 o'clock, when Jesus breathed his last. Mark 15:33-37. So at 3 o'clock, when the lambs were slaughtered, 3 o'clock, Jesus died. The spit shaped like a crossbar on which the lambs were spread open pointed to Jesus hanging on the cross. Not one bone in Jesus' body was broken. Like the lambs, no bone could be broken. The other two thieves on the cross beside him had their legs broken, but when they came to Jesus to break his legs, he was already dead, so they did not break one bone in his body. The whole lamb had to be consumed that day. Nothing could be left over for the next day. The Jewish religious leaders hurriedly went and asked that the bodies be taken down before 6 o'clock. Before 6 o'clock. Because it was the Passover preparation day, John 19:31, unknowingly fulfilling Scripture. Jesus gave his all on the 14th as the final Passover sacrifice. And number 7, the blood of Jesus saves us from death and gives us the promise of resurrection. The blood of Jesus saves us from death and gives us the promise of resurrection. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And when his blood is applied to the doorpost of our heart, death cannot hold us. Jesus has taken away its sting. And the result of our coming to Jesus as our Passover lamb, our Passover sacrifice, is now you have peace with God." You do, you have peace with God. I don't know if you feel that way all the time, but just go, let me go ahead and tell you by faith, because Jesus is our Passover sacrifice, you have peace with God. And by embracing Jesus as our Passover lamb, God has entered our house. He's become our protector and our provider. That's a pretty good story there. The Bible is amazing, written by all these different authors and over centuries and centuries, but it just flows connected together. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Lord Jesus, help us to receive you as our Passover lamb.